CareArc. They might have a new name, but they still have the same great services. At CareArc, they believe healthcare should be convenient and affordable for everyone, without exception. That's why their approach to healthcare is different, so you can get back to living your life without the hassle. They offer convenient and affordable services, all under one roof, such as medical care, dental care, and behavioral health. Find them online at CareArc.org.
KVOE News time is now 8:51, which makes it Newsmaker 2 time today. We're pleased to have with us Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn. First time we've had a chance to talk with Jennifer in a while.
Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us here today. And we actually had planned this before we started seeing, you know, the caseload increase from COVID-19 from last week to this. Although we did wind up seeing some caseload increases in nearby states and in general terms nationwide here for the past week or so. So I guess we might as well start our conversation as to what's really driving our current caseload increase, either locally or maybe more of a region-wide slash nationwide look.
Yeah, so we have definitely seen an increase over the last couple of weeks. We kind of started noticing this increase starting the week of April 24th. Before that, we were very fortunate to have several weeks, probably right around 7 weeks, where we were averaging about 5 cases a week, which was really great. And then we saw that slow uptick. You know, we just kind of released some numbers showing that, you know, we saw a really significant increase last week. And unfortunately, this week, just the first part of the week, we have already documented more cases than we did last week. So we are seeing an increase in our community. What's really driving that? Well, our friend Omicron, it, you know, mutated into a variant or another lineage. That BA2 has made it into our community, and I think that's what's really driving this newest wave of infections. The first wave of the last wave of infections that we had, you know, back through January and just tapered out into February, that was from, you know, Omicron, that original lineage, and now we're seeing a sub-lineage to that starting to affect our community.
Jennifer, I don't know if you have this data, you know, with you or not, but of the positive cases that you're seeing, have these people been vaccinated and boosted, do you know?
We do have some of that data. It's been a little bit harder to obtain just because we are limiting the amount of full disease investigations that we're doing. But really, we still are seeing that the majority of our cases are still in unvaccinated, although we are seeing cases and breakthrough cases, so in cases that of people that have been fully vaccinated or boosted, the majority of those are mild. If you look at the statistics still in our county, I looked them up today, that the majority of the deaths and the hospitalizations, so the severe disease due to COVID, are in our unvaccinated. It's anywhere between 85 and 86% of our cases and deaths, or our hospitalizations and deaths, are in non-vaccinated individuals. We are at about 2% of those are in boosted individuals, and in about 12% in people that are completely vaccinated but have not obtained the boosters like recommended. So you can see really still the vaccines are very effective at preventing severe disease, even though we are having these variants that are circulating that have some immune escape. Just still the best protection that we have out there right now is vaccination.
How accurate can that data be here, Jennifer? And the reason I asked that is it's starting to sound here nationwide like not everybody is reporting, you know, their particular situations either to their doctors or to health officials.
Absolutely. And you are very correct on that. There are a couple things, you know, that are happening. One is we have home tests that are available, and that is wonderful. I mean, we need to have that out in our communities, but there is no requirement or even really a platform to kind of count those home tests. So we definitely know that cases are underreported. We do have some confidence in our vaccine statistics of the cases that are reported, that are documented. Our team is very good about going in and looking at the database, the state immunization database, and making sure that we pull immunization or vaccine information from each one of our positive cases. So we go above and beyond with that to make sure that we have quality data about vaccines with the positive cases that are reported in our EpiTrack system.
So you are encouraging people that do the home test if there is a positive to let you know about it?
Well, at this point, we don't have any way to record that.
Okay.
KDHE has asked us not to put home tests into our database, which is our EpiTrack system. So really, I think the biggest thing we're encouraging people to do if they have a positive home test is to contact their primary care provider, because we have some really, really good treatments for COVID right now. So if you are at risk at all of developing severe disease, you need to contact your primary care provider right when you are diagnosed to talk about if there are treatments that are right for you. Those treatments are very effective at preventing people from being hospitalized or of dying from COVID. That's in unvaccinated people as well. So that would be my first phone call if I had tested positive, would be to visit with my primary care provider.
How accurate have these home tests proven to be, Jennifer? Are they pretty accurate?
They actually are. It really is dependent upon sample collection and how the test is performed. A lot of the home tests are the same tests that are being used in doctor's offices. So it's really important for people to read and follow the directions. And that sample collection is important as well. So making sure that they get a good sample. Also, we can't just rely on one negative test if you're doing a home test. We really encourage people to do multiple tests, especially if they are symptomatic. So if you're symptomatic and you take one test and it is negative, then you should wait a day or two and take another test. Sometimes the viral load is just low enough at the beginning of an infection that that home test will be negative, but then they will go on to develop, you know, more viral load, and subsequent tests would be positive.
Jennifer, a couple questions come up here. You know, one happens to be, you know, are we looking at, you know, a spike to the levels of what we saw in January, which was our record, or are the indications that you're getting that this is going to be, you know, elevated status, but nothing as severe as what we saw earlier this year? And then how important is it now going to be to start, you know, masking up and considering quarantine/isolation protocols?
Yeah, so really, honestly, at this point, there's not a way to sort of predict, you know, how widespread this wave is going to be, how many infections that we are going to have. We do have some good things going for our communities right now. We do have fairly decent vaccination rates or immunity with a vaccine, and we have just come off of a big spike, so you know, thoughts are that we have immunity due to infection out there. Unfortunately, we have really seen that this SARS-CoV-2 virus, it can be kind of tricky, and it mutates. And unfortunately, these recent mutations that we're seeing have some of this immune escape to them. So we are seeing that individuals that were infected with the original strain of Omicron still may be susceptible to these other variants, the BA2, but especially the variants BA4 and BA5 that are on the horizon. And so we are seeing potentially that there is still going to be reinfection. I think it does become important. It's the same message that we have said kind of through this, that we need to be looking at what's going on in our communities and tailoring mitigation strategies to what is going on to our in our communities. So as we see cases start to rise, and especially if we see our hospitals start to get impacted with COVID-19 patients or with, staff shortages because of the COVID-19 disease in their staff, then we really need to be taking precautions in the community. And this would be, just simply creating more social distance, making sure that we have good airflow in spaces, having social gatherings outdoors, and that when you are around people that you can't social distance and that are strangers to you, that it would be important to mask up. And really, our immunocompromised people or people that may be at risk for more severe disease need to be taking those precautions as well. We want to make sure that we're protecting that vulnerable population.
Jennifer, if you do have people that are at your home that do test positive, again, lay out the protocol for us. What is needed as far as isolation? What has to happen?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about this for a while because, we've had such low cases. But if you are a person that tests positive for COVID-19, you should stay home and isolate away from others, even your family members, for at least 5 days after you test positive. Then if you have symptom resolution after 5 days, we would recommend that you get an antigen test. But if you, don't have that available, you can leave isolation, but you need to continue to wear a well-fitting mask around other people, both indoors and outdoors, for an additional 5 days. And if you can't wear a mask, then you need to stay home for the 10 days. Now, if you are exposed to a COVID-19 positive person, so if you are a close contact, if you have symptoms at all, then you need to make sure that you get tested. So anytime during that time period, get tested if you develop symptoms. But if you don't and you don't have immunity either due to a very recent infection or if you are unvaccinated or not a fully vaccinated person, then you would need to stay home for 5 days and then hopefully test after the full 5 days to make sure that, you didn't develop COVID-19. And if that test comes back negative or if you are unable to get, the test, then you can go ahead and go out back into public for another 5 days, but you need to wear a mask. Again, if you are around other people, either indoors or outdoors, need to wear that mask. And if you can't wear the mask, then you should remain home for the full 10 days. And if you are a fully vaccinated person, then test if you develop symptoms, but you don't have to do the quarantine if you're a close contact. But we do recommend that you wear that mask for the full 10 days when you're around other people.
Okay. Well, Jennifer, thanks so much here for your time and the update. And, we're hoping that this is just a blip as opposed to a spike. And hopefully everybody does what they can to keep safe.
Yeah, so are we. So thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Appreciate
the information as always.
Thanks. Have a great day.
All right, you too. You too. Jennifer Milburn joining us here. KVOE is Jennifer. A lot of great information all the time and does a great job. Down at the Lyon County Public Health Department, she is the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director, Jennifer Milburn, Newsmaker 2.
All right, don't forget What's in Outdoors tomorrow, 8:20, right here on KVUE, and don't forget...